scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 24, 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see all the smiling faces. Had a good Bible study. We're glad that you're here. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming. You're welcome here at each and every opportunity that we assemble. We assemble once again at 6 p.m. this evening for our evening service on this Lord's Day. We do worship God in spirit and in truth. We pray that we have the right information. We have the right attitude, the right spirit as we present our worship to God. That is the worship that will be acceptable to Him this day. Thank you for coming. Time again. Well, turn to 1 John chapter 4. Get your Bibles out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It's an important passage, I believe, for us to begin with. The important passage, I think, just about every sermon. I want you to notice 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Anybody seen the movie Left Behind? Anybody see that? You know, Hollywood has discovered that Christians actually watch movies. So there's been a whole barrage of movies come out of late. In the past, we've got Mel Gibson came out with that movie about the Lord and the sacrifice of the Lord, the death of Jesus, made Mel Gibson a fortune. Then Noah came out and got a lot of flack about that because, again, remember, things come out of Hollywood aren't exactly scriptural. I did see the movie Noah, like those rock people that they invented, all kinds of different things. There's all kinds of hoopla going on about, oh, you ought not to watch it. Again, remember, it's Hollywood. And then there was the movie about the little boy who claimed that after he died, he went to heaven. And now, we're seeing all sorts of movies, all sorts of claims. But Left Behind was a movie that starred Nicolas Cage. I think Cage is a cool actor. But the movie Left Behind tells us that the end has begun. That's what that movie was about, Left Behind. The movie's a movie about the end of time. And it creates end of time scenarios. Tim LaHaye is the author of a series of books for which the movie was came off of. The series of books, Left Behind series, is actually what it's called. And the movie comes from that book. Now, the Left Behind series, those books, actually, you should know, they've been written in about 32 different languages, and they sold over 65 million copies. And so there's a lot of people that have seen the movie. There's a lot of people that have read the Left Behind series. And, by the way, none other than Willie Robinson of Dutch Dynasty has a hand in the movie and works with Cage. He is the executive producer of the movie Left Behind. He put a lot of his money into that movie and a lot of his influence behind that movie and has encouraged a lot of folks to watch the movie and read the book. But I want you to understand this morning that the lesson's not about the Robinsons, and it's not about Dutch Dynasty. It's not about Nick Cage, really. And it's really not about the movie. What I want to talk about this morning is that we need to focus on what that movie teaches and what the book, the series of books are written about. The movie is about the doctrine of the rapture. That's really the total amount of it. It's about the rapture, a doctrine called the rapture, that Jesus is going to come and he's going to take a bunch of people. People are going to disappear from this earth. People are just going to be left behind in the movie and in the book. I believe this movie and this book, The Doctrine of the Rapture, really is just a little bit more than just religious science fiction. If you sat down with an open Bible, an open mind, and you read the Bible, you might just find that what was left behind in all of it was the truth of God. Because what's left behind is nothing that I see portrayed in the movie or in the book. And I think about that. You know, people have been talking about the movie. Man, I've heard a lot about it, a lot about the book. And you know, when I hear that, what comes off of me is it just provides you. It provides Christians with an opportunity to talk about end of times. When somebody brings up the end of times and, hey, did you see that? And what do you think about Left Behind? Really, the light ought to go on for us and say, hey, yeah, I've seen that. Let's talk about that. And so that's an opportunity. It's a chance to step forward and talk about what God actually teaches from His Word. Let's not miss those opportunities. Now, I want you to understand that I think that calm and cool Bible study, sitting across the kitchen table from somebody with an open Bible and says, this is what God's Word says, somehow that lacks the glitz and the glamour of a real cool Hollywood movie, but still the truth's going to be progressive. And, you know, even as I say that, there may be somebody in the audience that says, you know, now that's not very nice. You know what? If people want to believe the rapture, if they want to believe that movie, if they want to believe that book, what do you got to bring it up for anyway? What do you got to talk about it anyway? Why can't you just let people alone? Be nice about that. You know, they're going to believe what they want to believe, and you get to believe what you want to believe, and that's just the country that we live in. I want you to look again at our text. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. We need to do what? We need to try the Spirit. Why is that? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of subjects that are being taught falsely. And that over 65 million people in just this issue of something that's scriptural and should be talked about, I think they bought the package. Now, the Left Behind series claims to offer scriptural and biblical views of how the world's going to end up. This is where they got the idea of the book, the movie, and all of that. The rapture, however, is something that I cannot find in the Bible. And anytime that comes up, shouldn't we be able to sit down with the Bible and open the Bible and say those things? Yeah, that's a cool movie, but I can't find it in the Bible. I don't know where you're getting the Left Behind thing. I don't know anything about that. And the reason I don't, because it's foreign scripture. Somebody is offering false hope when they talk about this. And, you know, somebody's offering a false end of time scenario. Now, with this issue, as well with others, the question ought to be asked, what saith the Scripture? What does the Scripture say about this subject? Furthermore, I think if you buy this Left Behind business, and I'll tell you what, it's misleading in the fact that in that doctrine, they guess what you get to do? You get to have a second chance. And you think about that, you know, if people are putting off becoming a Christian, if people are putting off obeying the gospel of Christ and becoming a New Testament Christian as the Bible instructs, if you're putting that off because you think you're going to have a second chance, you're going to roll the dice, somebody needs to say, wait a minute, you need to be careful about that because that's not found in the Scripture. And that's precisely really what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to look carefully, to think carefully about the doctrine of the rapture. I believe that it's not found in Scripture. And again, I believe the truth has been left behind. Well, what's this rapture business all about? What is the rapture that they say of? What is it they speak of? A couple things about the rapture that we hear about. The idea, really the lead idea, is that some point, the lead idea is that Jesus is going to come. He's going to come secretly. And He's going to come invisibly. That we're not going to see Jesus when He comes. And when He comes, there are going to be dead Christians that raised from the dead. They're going to come, the Lord's going to come in secret. We're not going to see Him. And there's going to be a resurrection of dead Christians. Then He's going to take all of those Christians to heaven. He's going to take them to heaven for 7 years. Alright? That's what really the movie's all about when you just the outset of the movie. I read some of the press releases. I never said team leaders. YouTube's a great thing, though, isn't it? You can get all the clips and do all that thing and kind of see the movie and then make up your own plot. But one of the press releases talks about what Nicolas Cage is, his character in the movie. He is he's an airplane pilot. He's a commercial pilot. And suddenly, millions of people are vanishing all around the world. And Cage has got his jet there. It's damaged. And he's got a jet full of terrified passengers. And they're all desperate to get safely home. He's desperate to get safely home. And his daughter, Chloe, is at home. And what she's doing during all this time, she's looking for her lost mother. And she's looking for her lost brother. Because they're gone, and she's been left behind. Now, during that time, that 7 years, that the dead Christians, as well as those Christians that are alive, they're going to disappear. The world is going to experience a tribulation in that 7 years like the world has never experienced a tribulation before. That's it. Now, in that, the rapture tells us that during that 7 years, that you're going to get a second chance. If you get left behind in those 7 years, you better get it right. You need to get that right because that gives you that opportunity to become a Christian during that time. After 7 years, Jesus is going to come back. Now, when he comes back, he's going to defeat the Antichrist, he's going to defeat Satan, and actually, he's going to rule on the earth, a physical rule, a physical reign for 1,000 years. That's what's going to happen. And then, after that 1,000 years, the wicked dead will be resurrected, the judgment will happen, then eternity begins. You should know that this rapture doctrine is a relatively new doctrine. And that doesn't make it right or wrong, but it is of interest, I think, that nobody thought of this doctrine until 1830, when a guy named John Darby is his name. He began to preach and teach this around 1830. And it's popular today for a lot of reasons. Many denominations, whatever denomination you're a member of, 999 times out of 100, you believe this doctrine. You believe that premillennialism is true to this. And really, that's what this is. But Hollywood has glitched it out, the books have glitched it out, and had a series called Left Behind. Now, also, in your Schofield Bible, your study Bible, a lot of folks pack that. And that is taught in the margins of the Schofield Study Bible. So a lot of times you need to be careful what you pick up. But when you look at the rapture, though, I want you to notice that with that, there are three key elements. First and foremost, rapture teaches that the Lord's return is going to be secret. And it's going to be shocking. All of a sudden, people are just going to start disappearing. People are going to start disappearing, and the world is going to be thrown into some kind of chaos and disarray because this has happened. That's thrown everybody into chaos and disarray. And part of that is, now if you think about it, Jesus is going to come twice, alright? He's going to come at the rapture, and then 7 years go by of tribulation, then Jesus is going to come again. Now, that's two comings of Jesus, alright? Now, with that, of course, if there are two separate comings of the Lord, what does that mean? There has to be two resurrections, alright? There's one resurrection of the righteous living, righteous dead, the rapture. All Christians living and dead are going to be taken to heaven 7 years. 7 years. And then there's going to be a second resurrection a long time after that. 1,000 years after that. When the wicked dead are going to be raised. If you understand those three key points. I think that's pretty easy. It wouldn't take very long to sit down and say, wait a minute, there is nothing, absolutely nothing like that in the Bible. It's not part of the Bible. We're not close to a tribulation. Do you know why? Because there's not going to be a rapture. There's not going to be a tribulation, nor does the Bible teach a rapture. Three ways that we know that to be true. Alright? First and foremost, let's just notice that the Lord's coming, folks, it is not going to be a secret. And it is not going to be mysteriously quiet. And you are not going to miss it when the Lord comes.
First and foremost, on the front burner. You need not worry if you've missed the Lord's coming. You need not worry about that. When the Lord comes, you're going to know that. The Bible tells us that. 1 Thessalonians.
Notice what Paul says. Now the brethren at Thessalonica were concerned about the second coming of Christ. They were concerned about the Lord's coming. Maybe they missed it. Maybe they thought it already happened. Notice verse 17.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so he says, we shall always be with the Lord. Now that's the rapture verse. That is the rapture verse. Whenever you talk to somebody, you know what? I don't think the rapture is in the Bible. Their comment is, well, the exact word's not in there. But you know what? When you look at that, the concept is there. Now when you look at verse 17, you see that word? Caught up. Caught up. They love those two words. That's the rapture terminology. Caught up. Alright. Well, you look at that. They love that picture though, by the way. That picture, you see it in a lot of tracks that teach the rapture. You see the picture where planes are crashing and there's people just, you know, the graves are opening and people are disappearing and there's all kinds of chaos. There's car wrecks everywhere. Well, you see that bubble figure in case of rapture, what? This car's going to be unmanned. And oh, that always struck me. I just don't know. You know, if I'm one of the guys that's going up, I'm raptured, you're not, and all the chaos. I don't know if that's how God would work that. Is that how Christians ought to react to all the trouble and chaos that's going on in the world? That's just kind of stuck with it. I just don't think that's how God does things. A secret return, though, like that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, we're caught up. Now, just back up one verse. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, how can you miss that? When you look at that, notice what he says. There are three audible announcements in this verse. Just in this verse. There's a shout. There's a shout. Now, that's not quiet and mysterious. There's going to be a shout. Then the voice of the archangel. I wonder what that sounds like. I don't know, but I bet it's not a whisper. How about you? Then a trumpet. Now, my buddy, Bill Mundy, next door, I was a football player, he was a trumpet player. That guy blew that thing, you could hear it all over the neighborhood forever. Trumpet! When I read trumpet, I don't think that's quiet. The trumpet of God! The sound of a trumpet! Think what that might sound like. No one is going to miss Jesus coming again. Here's three audible noises. Everybody will hear the Lord's coming. Everybody. In fact, while you're there, notice verse 17 again. So we will what? Always be with the Lord. Not 7 years. Always be with the Lord. So, you start thinking about it. You start just reading a couple of verses. This rapture thing has some trouble. We'll always be with the Lord. Now, not only is there going to be a sound and a lot of sound when the Lord comes back, if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, turn the page, there's just not going to be a sound, there's going to be something that you see. I know this 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven, how's it going to be revealed? With his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those that do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, not only is there going to be a sound, but you're going to see something. You're going to see angels, flaming fire, and you're going to see Jesus. Talk about a visible return. Just how exciting is that verse when you look at that? A visible return from the Lord. One that you're going to see. One that you're going to hear. You're going to see the Lord return.
And you're going to hear him return. There's not anything secret or mysterious about that. Anything mysterious about these passages. So right away, in the beginning, as you think about the rapture and what's taught in the movie, Left Behind, and all of that, when you look at that, it's out of sync with plain Bible teaching about the end of time. Alright, I need to add one more thing here. The Bible never says anything about the Lord coming twice. Nothing. And when you read about this in Thessalonians, in the book of Thessalonians, it's not a return of the Lord. It is the return of the Lord. That's what Paul's talking about. Jesus doesn't have to come twice. The truth of the matter is there are not going to be two resurrections. That's not what he's talking about. There's just going to be one. Now, if you select some passages to talk to someone about the rapture and the false teaching of it, here it is. You mark the example. When all the Christians are going to be caught up with Jesus, then there won't be a necessity of another resurrection. It's all going to take place now. Jesus is not going to have tribulation, not going to be a 1,000-year reign, not going to be armies, not going to be all that. This is going to be done once. All right, notice John chapter 5. Jesus talks about the resurrection, and Jesus doesn't seem to know anything about two resurrections. Look at verse 28, John chapter 5. Do not marvel, he says, at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those that did good deeds to the resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. Everybody comes out. Not two different deals. This is one event. Everybody's going to be resurrected at the same event. One resurrection for everybody. That's what Jesus knew about. So let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Same thing here. Now Paul's building a case here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 again. Notice what he says. Give relief to those who are afflicted. Verse 7. And to us as well, and the Lord will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who don't know God, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? Verse 9. He says, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in the saints on that day, one day, and to be marveled at among all those who have believed for our testimony to you who have believed. Alright? The Lord's going to come and punish and reward us on the same day, on the same resurrection, one resurrection. Everybody is dealt with at the same time. Not two different resurrections, not two returns. None of that is seen here. Acts chapter 4. I'm sorry, 24. Paul again. This might be the death knell here for those that have the doctrine of the rapture. Acts 24, Paul is talking about the resurrection. Now watch what Paul says here. This is not going to be two resurrections. Verse 15. Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, Acts 24:15, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Same event. Paul didn't know anything about a rapture. Paul didn't know anything about 1,000-year reign. This is a resurrection, the only resurrection that Paul's talking about. Now, by the way, some of us have tried, and I thought the people that tried, there was a difference in the expression resurrection from the dead, and resurrection of the dead, resurrection from the dead. It's not true. Those words are interchangeable. It's not going to fly, and they can't weasel out of that. The rapture teaches that there's going to be two times that Jesus is going to come. There's going to be two resurrections. Well, Paul didn't know about it. Jesus didn't know about it. And the scriptures don't speak anything about it. What they say is one resurrection. You know, there's a third observation, I must confess, that if you think about the theory of the rapture, one of the things that I think they've come close to is that there's going to be some tribulation. That when the Lord comes again, and I believe that the Bible teaches that there's going to be definitely some tribulation. In fact, the earth is going to be totally destroyed. Now that's some tribulation. When you talk about the earth being destroyed, the Bible teaches when Jesus returns, not going to be 7 years of tribulation, not going to be an antichrist, not going to be army, all right? None of that business. What the Bible teaches that when Jesus comes again, that every single thing that's physical that we are beholding will be totally and utterly destroyed. That's what the Bible teaches, 2 Peter chapter 3. It's interesting to me to know, if you begin to look at Scripture about the second coming of Jesus, you know, there are things in the Bible that take some digging, that take some rightly dividing. And as we search the Scriptures, there's things in there we might have to dig a little bit deeper. I wonder what the Lord meant by that and such things. I'll tell you something. Not so when it comes to the second coming of the Lord. There's plenty of stuff in Scripture written about the second coming, what those days are going to look like, and how judgment is going to commence. It's not some doctrine that's hardly ever discussed in Scripture. Folks, you can open up the Bible and see what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice verse 3. Notice first of all that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and say, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just like it was from the beginning of creation. Jesus didn't come yesterday. Jesus didn't come day before yesterday. Well, I just don't know. I just don't even think Jesus will come. Alright. So verse 5. Ain't that. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded by water, he says. God's very capable of judging the world. God's very capable of destroying the world. If you have any doubts about that, ask somebody called Noah. He'll answer that for you. Noah will tell you about that. He'll tell you about this big flood that happened. All right? Look at verse 7. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. Behold, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day, he says. Well, don't overlook this fact. God doesn't keep time like you do. You throw away your calendar keeping time. That's not how God works, all right? The Lord knows what he's doing. And the Lord is in control of what he's doing. Look at verse 9. The Lord is slow about his promise. Wonder why. As some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all of us, for all the time to repent. God's waiting and hoping before he destroys the world that you'll repent of your sins and obey the gospel and become a Christian. That's what God's doing here. And he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready for when Jesus Christ, his Son, returns. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its work will be burned up. Since all of these things are being destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt, he says, with intense heat. Jesus will never, ever set foot on this earth again. There's no passage in the Bible that teaches that. We can't preach and teach that. There's not a single passage that ever says that. He's not going to establish an earthly kingdom. None of that is true. It's not found anywhere in Scripture. That's not what's going to happen to this earth. Peter tells us what's going to happen on it. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. We're not going to have 1,000-year reign because the earth is not going to be here. Peter's very plain about that. That's tribulation. There's not going to be wars and famine. None of that's going on. But there's going to be some serious tribulation when the Lord comes back. For everything that you see and behold in a physical sense, it's going to be utterly destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. What's all that mean for us? Think about that. Most of us change. Some of us maybe not. Came to church this morning with the idea, well, I don't think it's going to be a rapture. That was a pretty cool theological dance that you just did about the left behind theory. But how does that affect me? Challenge you with a couple of ideas. First and foremost, one of the things we need to be sure that we're not doing. So one of the things we need not to be doing, that we're not getting all worried about signs and tribulation and things that are going on in the Middle East and watching all the news about everything that's going on over there. You know, I see charts all the time on Facebook, on social media, about that. It's on people's minds. What's going on over there? And this means that, that means that. I got a post the other day from a sister in another state that ought to know better. And she posted 10 signs of tribulation is near. And the tribulation is not near. Because there's no such thing as the rapture. And all this does is feed the thinking that Christians are like the boy that cried wolf all the time. And really ever since Israel was reinstated in 1948, every time somebody over there looks sideways, oh, that's a sign. That's a sign. People have been doing that forever. And posts like that, and thoughts like that, and discussions like that, just feeds that. Feeds that false idea. That good old Willie Ross, just died. Supported this movie and book. He's a member of the church, but is upholding this false doctrine and false teaching about the end of time. He said this, like most Christians, my family and I can truly say we are excited about the soon return of Jesus. And if you've been watching the news lately, you know that return could be any day from now. What Mr. Robinson needs to do is quit watching the news and start reading his Bible. Because it's not in there. It's not out there. Now, I think about that. No chart that you can put together. No CNN news, no all of this, no misuse of Matthew 24, no misuse. It's not going to happen. You can't piece it all together that Jesus is going to come soon. We can't know that. We don't know that. Matthew 24, verse 36. But that day, the day the Lord returns, Jesus says this, that day and hour, no one knows. Not even, he says, the angels of heaven, nor the Son. I don't even know, Jesus said. I don't even know when that day is coming, he said. Only the Father in heaven. It's going to come suddenly, Peter said. Unexpectedly, not because people put two and two together by watching the news and watching what's going on over there. Stop worrying about the Middle East. If that's what you do, if you wring your hands, you're all anxious about the news going on over there, you can stop that any time because you're wasting your time. Absolutely nothing going on over there has absolutely nothing with the Lord returning and destroying this earth and judgment day beginning. Absolutely nothing. Those folks over there have been fussing forever. They're going to keep fussing. Just like we thought. But that's not a sign that Jesus is about ready to return. You need to know that. In fact, what it does, again, is the reality that gives me an opportunity to speak up. Sometimes when we see folks pushing the rapture doctrine, you know, we get a little nervous and think, well, maybe I ought not say nothing. Maybe I better keep my mouth shut. You know what they'll probably do? They'll probably bring up Revelation. I don't know much about that book. Daniel and Ezekiel, they'll probably bring up all stuff like that. They'll start piecing together all these symbols and all these weird things. They'll start saying about the dragon and this and that. And maybe we ought not to say nothing about it. I might just be a little bit embarrassed about that. Listen, because you don't know everything about Revelation, and just because you don't know everything about Daniel and Ezekiel, doesn't mean you can't speak up and should speak up. I know that you know enough that you can turn to 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and put your finger on what the Bible clearly says about the rapture not happening. I may not be able to sort out Revelation ever. But I'll tell you what, I can understand what Paul said to Thessalonian brethren very plainly and very clearly. And I think it's time for brethren to speak up. I just do. And I just think it's time for people to see folks that claim to be Christians, as we do, as we are New Testament Christians, that we're not some wild-eyed fanatic. That's just all worried about everything happening in Syria and Iraq and Iran and Israel. Oh, I may think sometimes somebody see a person that whatsoever God's word and just plainly what God's word says and stand behind them. I think people would enjoy that. I think folks out there are tired of all the date setting, all the junk that's put together, all the symbols that are trying to get told of. Never happened. How long ago was that guy said made whatever it was? And all that does is just smear false teaching, which is good. But people never speak up to tell what the truth of the matter is on a lot of issues as we are Christians. Well, we've got to be careful now. No. You know exactly what God's word says about the second coming of Christ. You can look at what Paul says, you can look at what Peter says, and you can sit down with any Bible scholar that says the rapture is the real thing, and you can just prove him about 10 minutes. We need to do that. We need to start defending our faith and standing on the ground that the scripture gives us and quit letting people have a free pass just to run their mouth all over the place and we don't say anything. Wonder why churches aren't growing? It's because we're not standing up for truth and right. And we're not speaking the things that we should speak. And we're saying left behind, yes, straight, that's where it goes. No! Speak up! Somebody needs to talk about error and false ways because people are going to be lost. Eternal. Your friends, neighbors, and relatives. You know one more thing about those who are not Christians. You know what? If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to be. You need to be. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. Actually, if the rapture was true, I'd just tell you not to worry about it. Hey, Lord comes invisible, and we see people float off, disappear, and there's mayhem. Hey, I got 7 years. Straighten up before the Lord comes, but I hope that we talk about it enough, you know that's not going to happen. And you know that's not going to be true. There is no rapture. It's not going to happen. And because it's not going to happen, guess what? That means there's no second chance. You're not going to have a second chance. When the trumpet sounds, when the cry and command of God, when you hear the voice of the archangel, that's it. That's how you're going to go to judgment. And as you're being resurrected, you might look down and see this place being torn. Because that's what's going to happen. You might get a glimpse of that. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen. But you know what? I'd be lying to you if I told you it's not going to happen in the next 5 minutes. That it's not going to happen this afternoon. That it's not going to happen this evening. I'd be lying to you if I said that. You know what the only thing to do? We understand the truth about the rapture or the lie about the rapture and understand the truth about Jesus Christ and when He's coming. You know what the only thing there is to do is to get ready. It's to get ready for that and be ready for that. That's the truth. That's what we need to know. You know, is it possible that Jesus come back, take the slave home with Him? He left behind a second chance? No chance. Not going to happen. The doctrine of the rapture, religious science fiction. Junk made up that makes people a lot of money that are false teachers. Sells movie tickets. Not part of your Bible. False doctrine, false hope. You know what you can do? Obey the Lord in simple obedience. That's what's left to do. Please get out the song book. We're going to sing an invitation song. Obey the simple plan of God that's found in God's Word. That's the exhortation this morning. When you do that, you know when you do that, you're going to be ready for the second coming of Christ. You'll be ready for Jesus to come. Your sins will be washed away in the waters of baptism. You can be a child of God. Now listen, if there's something I said this morning, I want you to grab me. You just take me. We'll go back there and sit down. We'll open up the Bible. Because I want to tell you something. I want to be right. If the rapture's right, I want to teach it and preach it and believe it. But if the second coming of Christ is right, according to what I preached this morning, I want to preach and teach that. And I want you to believe the truth in the matter, in every issue. And that's in regard of anything. If I say something, please, please tell me. Let's open the Bible. Simple truth of God is revealed. We can know it. We can understand it. Let's let the Word of God simply teach us so that we can obey it in all things, you know. If you know the truth of God and you're not acting on it this morning, If you know to do the right thing, and you're not acting on it this morning, maybe this afternoon, just maybe, the Lord will come. Can you imagine spending all of eternity in hell and knowing that you were given one last opportunity to obey God, to listen to God, but all through eternity, now I'm lost. I bought a lie. Jesus said very plainly, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's the gospel that we preach here. That's the gospel of Christ. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 Christians were made by the power of the gospel, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." Folks, that's the gospel. That's going to stand true on the day of judgment. Have you done it? If you have not done that, you are lost. Please come. And together we stand and sing.